I hope you enjoyed the kirtan. I do what to do. Kirtan is something very deep. It's very profound. And so many mellows, and that is the meaning of bhakti. The meaning of bhakti is about mellows. This is a little too much. The meaning of bhakti is rasa, because it is said akila rasa mrita murti, that Krishna is the complete manifestation of all different moods and mellows and relationships. Bhakti is the philosophy of personalism, opposite of impersonalism. Impersonalism is the understanding that when once we become spiritually enlightened, that we are losing our identity, and that we realize our spiritual nature and then merge with all spiritual existence. However, that is not accepted by the bhakti acharyas. They are seeing clearly the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Vadanti tatvavidas tatvam yatskyat jnanam atvayam brahmeti paramakmiti bhagavam iti sarvajata. The undivided absolute truth consists of three divisions. Namely, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And Brahman is indeed that all-pervading oneness. Paramatma is different, is the Lord in the heart. And beyond that is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is maintaining relationships with so many devotees. Akila Rasamrita Murti. So, this kirtan immediately gives us a taste of these mellows, different modes. So the service of Krishna is the desire of the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada, in his old age, crossed the ocean and on a mission to teach the West the path of loving devotional service, where the devotee realizes that the topmost activity which can satisfy the most is loving devotional service. Vaipumsa parudhano yataropakti yadokshite haitiki apatiyata yayatma supasivati. That can fully satisfy the self. It said suprasidati. Siddhati means satisfied. Prasidati means completely satisfied. And suprasidati means totally, completely satisfied. So, very satisfied. that's for sure. Suprasidati. And that is a fact. In other words, you know, so many times we ask, how are you? And the answer is, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. And it's like you balance everything and say, like, well, considering everything, I'm doing fine. But that's not the level of satisfaction and happiness that is expressed in supersedity. In supersedity, it's like there's, it's only overwhelming happiness, nothing else. Everything else is disappeared. So yes, that's not the happiness of this world, because the happiness of this world is always one side is warm and the other side is cold. And that's the nature of the material world. What to do? The dualities of material existence are inevitable. But Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world. In the Western world, he began his movement, and after a short time, he was successful on the Lower East Side, and he began to attract some devotees. One of these devotees is Brahmananda Prabhu, and I've been reading a new book which is not yet on the market, but somehow or other I got an advance copy, and I thought, since I was reading it, I should, it's on my mind. Somehow or other, Brahmananda is a very big and powerful man, spiritually, first of all. Second, also physically, actually. He has a big body. Brahmananda was a wrestler before Krishna consciousness, and even a little bit in Krishna consciousness. And Brahmananda, over the years, certainly became very big in size. He is a big eater. And, even the big ones look small next to Brahmananda. It is described. Now, one time, Srila Prabhupada gave a big sweet ball, quite a big one, simply wonderful, big size, mana large, to one devotee, who received that mercy, put it in front of him on the plate, and then just looked at it. And Brahmananda also looked at it and just went and ate the whole thing. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the nature of mercy. If you don't take advantage of it immediately, it might just disappear. So that's like, yeah, it is like that. Anyway, many stories there are to tell about Brahmananda. When Brahmananda, in the early days, Brahmananda became Prabhupada's trusted representative. His nature was that he was completely surrendered to Prabhupada's desire. Whatever Prabhupada would say, he would do it. I think if any quality is outstanding in his character, it's loyalty. He's the most loyal servant you can imagine. Completely loyal to Prabhupada, but I mean, not allowing the mind to get in between. Whatever Prabhupada said, okay, that's what we're going to do, whatever it is. See, that's not so easy, and that is not so often found in anyone. And that is why Brahmananda got this unique position of being so close to Prabhupada. And in fact, of all the devotees in the early days, Brahmananda was the leader. Prabhupada chose him as the leader. He was, when they were saying that we should select a treasurer, we should select a secretary and a president, then Brahmananda said, Satsarup would make a good secretary. Gargamuni, his nickname is Gargamani. So he was the obvious person for the treasury. And then Brahmananda said, maybe Rai Ram should be the president. And Prabhupada said, no, you should be the president. And that was it. And from that day on, Brahmananda was in charge of everything. And it was quite amazing. First of all, Prabhupada had this Bhagavad Gita, this manuscript that he wanted published, and it was very difficult. But he just told Brahmananda, well, just get it published. It's easier said than done. You know, get it published. How? You know, anyway, there was somehow or other one man who worked for the Macmillan Publishing Company had put in an order through the mail. But then Prabhananda decided to do some follow-up and just go there, and then he hoped that he would get some connection. But it turned out the man was just working in the accounts department, and you know, nothing to do with publishing, so didn't look good at all. And just then, the chief editor came into the office of the accountant, and Brahmananda saw his opportunity. And he said to the man, he said that here I have a Bhagavad Gita by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and I'd like to offer the manuscript to you for publication. And the man said, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita. We just finished a series of spiritual topics and we need a Bhagavad Gita to complete it. I'll take it. And that was it. And Macmillan, a big company, was publishing Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. That was Brahmananda. And Prabhupada was very eager to carry on with book publication. And they went, eventually they got to Japan and got some cheap prices from Japan. And the Krishna book was meant to be printed there, and Brahmananda, he was negotiating with the printers and telling them how to do it and so on. And then it wasn't ready. Brahmananda had to leave, catch his flight, go back. And although they promised it would be ready, it wasn't ready. So he was very disappointed, and knew that Prabhupada would be really disappointed. And then, as he was going up the steps of the plane, suddenly this limousine, this large limousine, just pulled up onto the tarmac and drove right up to the plane. And then all the executives of Dai Nippon Printing Company came out. And Brahmananda looked and he saw all these people he had been working with. And he went down the staircase and they just brought out this box and they gave it to him. Brahmananda went on the plane and he just ripped open the box and took out a silver copy of the Bhagavad, of the Krishna book. And the man next to him said, "What is that?" And he said, "Oh, that's a book. It's about Krishna. It's been published by my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And it's been sponsored by George Harrison." And the man said, "How much is it?" $20. "Okay, I'll take it." Bought the book, you know. So when Brahmananda came in America, he felt a little embarrassed to give Prabhupada this box that was ripped open. And Prabhupada said, "How many books are there?" And he said, 24, Srila Prabhupada. "There were 25, but now there are 24. And I said, "Oh." And I said, "Yes, I sold one book on the plane." I said, "Oh, that's very nice." And then Prabhupada said, had a copy in his hand. He said, "Yes, and all these other ones can be sold also." And he looked at his copy and said, "And this one can be sold also." And then they all sold. Prabhupada was very, very pleased. So Brahmananda was a very close and intimate representative of Srila Prabhupada. And practically like his son in so many ways, so close. Ramananda was telling stories in Vrindavan and I was listening to those, and he was saying that he was having, he was ill, and Prabhupada didn't like it. Prabhupada was saying, like, "How can you be ill? How can you be ill? Well, I'm just ill." And I was, "You're always ill." And he just wasn't compassionate at all, you know. And like Ramananda was suffering, really suffering, and Prabhupada was just harsh and going like, you know, some horrible disease. Yeah? Disgusting. Yeah? And Ramananda began to feel worse and worse. And then Prabhupada came up to him, rubbed his head, and he was cured. And he was cured. So in this way, transcendental mercy was there. Ramananda said, yes, he cured me like that. He said, one time, another time he cured me also. He said, I had back problems, and I could not get straight. So I was sitting in a chair, and all the devotees had gone out preaching. I was the only one left in the temple. And the telephone rang, and then I felt I had to answer it. Couldn't. Anyway, somehow or other with my nose and my toes, I went over to the phone and I took the phone, and then it was Prabhupada's secretary who said, can I speak to Brahmananda? Speaking. Oh, Brahmananda, Prabhupada wants you to come immediately and become his secretary again. And Brahmananda said, but how can I come? I cannot come, my back. And then he suddenly realized that he was standing straight and that his back was cured. And he said, I'm coming right away. In this way, he was healed in a transcendental way by Prabhupada's energy. And like that, it went on over the years. One story that I have about Ramananda is that once in Vrindavan, Madhudvisa, another sannyasi, he arranged that a picture would be taken. And this picture was a group photo of devotees in ISKCON, and Madhudvisa organized it all, everybody nicely, in the right position. And then Ramananda stood right in the middle, next to Prabhupada. Naturally, yeah. And Madhudvisa was behind the camera. But what Madhudvisa had done, he put a timer on the camera. So he has put the timer, he clicked, and then he ran over and stood right in front of Brahmananda. Right next to Prabhupada. So Brahmananda said, get it, in a deep voice, sort of, in a way that Prabhupada couldn't hear, but that Madhudvisa could write in his ear, get it. And Madhudvisa didn't move an inch. So then Brahmananda, being big and powerful wrestler, pinched Madhudvisa as hard as he could in the back. But Madhudvisa, you can see on the photo, Madhudvisa was just standing there with the biggest smile on his face. And Brahmananda was pinching as hard as he could. I'm nothing in the world today. Let's stop smiling. Amazing. Madhudvisa also recently left this planet, but also in a nice way, because he was Mr. Kirtan in the early days of Ratha Yatra, and he had a desire to chant in front of all the Ratha carts. So he's in a wheelchair, but they put him in the wheelchair, and he led kirtan in front of all the Rathkars in the wheelchair. And the next day, so that desire was fulfilled. So we see, you know, these devotees that all rendered so much service, they got so much bliss. So Ramananda, also such a devotee. Mm. So 2 years ago in Vrindavan, there was a devotee from South American background who asked Ramananda. Ramananda, in the early days with Prabhupada, it was very intimate, very close. There were only a few devotees. But later it became a bigger movement. Do you feel that anything changed in the relationship? And Ramananda said, look, when you're a child, your father is your father. And when you're grown up, your father is your father. He's still your father. What's the difference? Yeah. but it's my spiritual master. Then the South American devotee said, I think that for you, Prabhupada is God. And then Ramananda said, Oh no, I made that mistake once in 1970. Oh no, Prabhupada is not God. Prabhupada is as good as God. He's as good as God. He said, but these days, I think he's better than God. Because he came to the Lower East Side and saved me. And then he was overwhelmed by emotion. And the whole crowd, we all felt this wave of emotion. It was dead silent. It was like sitting. Yeah, it was something else. So, what was going on? What was Ramananda referring to? That once I thought that Prabhupada was God. Well, it was like this, that after the movement had been going for a few years, some of the devotees became a little bit familiar. And they didn't give much respect to Prabhupada any longer. Because that tendency of familiarity is there in all of us. So it was not surprising that that came out. And they didn't offer him so much respect. And Prabhupada saw it. Like, for example, there was a book that came out, and instead of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, it said only A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And not paying attention to it. Then there was a Janmashtami celebration in Vrindavan, and Kirtananda was speaking about the upcoming celebration on the phone to Prabhupada. He said, everything is arranged, everything is fine, it's not required for you to come. So like that he felt underappreciated. And then at one point, his health was not good, he went. Then he decided to go back to India. So then Brahmananda, he got this whole feeling, we have not appreciated Prabhupada properly. I mean, he is like, you know, everything to us. And then this idea came, he is God. So then, and then his brother got into it, and actually, just at that time, before leaving, Prabhupada had given sannyas to four devotees, to Brahmananda, Garga, Muni, Vishnu, John, who was the fourth devotee. Anyway, so, then the sannyasis started to preach, Prabhupada is God. So, you know, anyone became confused, that cannot be, Prabhupada said he wasn't God, no, that must be wrong. So they contacted Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, this is Roman, this is Mayavada, and so on. So then, you know, like, and then Prabhupada said, these sannyasis have to leave. They have to preach without the support of the institution. So that was something. So then what they did is, they put them in quarantine, in a room, forcing them, and they put prasadam outside. And no one kept near to them. They opened the door and then take the prasad. No one wanted to get to them. And then finally, that was all in the book. It's all in the book. And then they took them in a car, drove them off the property, put them out on the road by and they were on their own. And they walked down the road with their dandas, in a small bank. And Prabhupada had said they should preach without the support of the institution. And they did that. They did that. They were living sometimes on construction sites. They would sleep in the bathtubs of the new apartments because it's cleaner and no longer concrete. Yeah. They would sleep in a park When the winter came, they went south to Florida. And they would preach. And they'd gradually get some followers. They'd preach to students. And they gradually opened a preaching center. And no longer were they taking showers in colleges. So, in other words, they really, and Brahmananda just took that hardship. He continued to preach, you see. And Prabhupada said, you should preach without the support of the institution. Okay? He did it. And in this way, Prabhupada was very strong. And then after they had gone through that and had actually preached, then Prabhupada said, okay, now they can come. And then he sent Brahmananda to Pakistan and Gargamuni to East Pakistan, Bangladesh. And he gave that order and they went. But then Prabhupada heard that Pakistan was actually getting dangerous. 1970 and 71 there was a war with India. So he sent a telegram for them to come back, but they never got it. So Brahmananda was in Pakistan and in full sannyas attire. In a Muslim country, they didn't appreciate that at all. And he was just in the mood of Haridas Thakur. He was sitting in the park, he was chanting japa. And people would come up, and they would just take the tilak off his face. And then there was this... Then in East Bengal, it got really difficult and Gargamuni managed to get out and take a flight to West Pakistan. But Brahmananda didn't know. And then Gargamuni went to Bombay. But Brahmananda stayed because Prabhupada had told him, Pakistan, so he stayed. And he did not leave until finally an order of Prabhupada reached him. And it was just in time because there was an assassination conspiracy going on. But he just got out in time on a flight to Bombay. There had been a newspaper article that that these Western missionaries had been killed. And Prabhupada was so happy to see. So, these stories, they show, you know, like what kind of surrender, what incredible surrender. I'm ready to just take the order no matter what. That's why I'm saying when we read this, and hear this, and when we meet Brahmananda, and we just see so much love for Prabhupada, and so much faith in Prabhupada, and such conviction and dedication to Prabhupada. And it's like inconceivable, extraordinary. So yes, that is the most wonderful thing. Because Krishna we cannot approach directly. Nobody can. We have to approach him. Is devotee. And there's a chain of devotees. We approach devotees and they approach devotees. Of course, Prabhupada is the one who gave Krishna consciousness to us in a way that we can fit it in our modern life. If we would have to go back to traditional India, could we do it? Could we live that simple? Would we live that austere, like the sadhus were living before in India, or even like now? I mean, could we? It would be very tough, very austere. And simply chant all day, could we do? 16 rounds. And even during the 16 rounds, we think of so many other things to do, etc. send some SMSs in between and, you know, do anything but chanting. The mind wants to do anything but chanting, and then we think, oh, this is important. No, this I have to do right away. Yes, I must do it now. No, important. Oh, this is also important. And this. Any opportunity to interrupt our chanting, that is natural to us. So, these points are there. We, for us, everything is inseparable. So, we understand that Brahmananda is an intimate associate of Śrīla Prabhupāda. No doubt about it. Not an ordinary person at all. And therefore, I'm telling everyone, I tell you also, that he lives in Vrindavan, and he likes it when devotees are coming to visit him. He likes it very much. It's not that you cannot see him, that he's too big a devotee to see. Not at all. That's not Brahmananda at all. You don't know him. How can you see him? No problem. He is happy to see any devotee. Well, and it's very personal and interesting in devotee. So after Pakistan, Srila Prabhupada sent Brahmananda to Africa. He gave him the time in Bombay to take a deep breath, and then he said, yes, now that you've done this, I think you should go to Africa. That was the next assignment. And at that time, he was in charge of all of Africa, and all the preaching in Africa, and in South Africa, was under Brahmananda. And so Brahmananda was also, although he couldn't come, visa, this and that, but he made arrangements. He made arrangements for South Africa. So he was part of that. And of course, he made arrangements for start preaching in Kenya and this and that. Later, he also went to Nigeria. So in Nigeria, he said it was totally different. Totally. People were so interested. So it was in Kenya it was tough, but in Nigeria, it really took off. Even then, foreboding what was to come. So, therefore, we should all go see. I sent many devotees there, and sometimes, like last time he was giving a lecture, and I didn't know, and then I heard it, so I came late. It's in the middle of the lecture, so I kind of ran in, and I was just in time. I had already started, and then he stopped the lecture and says, "Some of your boys came." He likes that. And he's very, he remembers. He remembers everybody. He's like, big man, big heart, you know. He likes to embrace many people. Right? And therefore, can take interest in the life of many. Such wonderful devotees. So we need the blessings of these of the devotees, the blessings of the Vaishnavas. We should not be shy. The other day I was in, we were in Czech Republic for Janmashtami and Cody and Nicole were going to come. Cody only made it as far as the border because somehow we didn't let him in the country. So Nicole came along, right? And there she was, you know, lost between all the Czechs, you know. nice devotees, but they don't speak much English in lots of priestly or which is a little intense. You know what I'm saying? When you're from another part of the world, you kind of feel a little this ski and that ski and all the ski. So yeah, Jeski. But they're very nice devotees. And then Gurudas was there, you know, who was the temple president in Vrindavan, the husband of Yamuna, who was responsible for building the temple in Vrindavan. Gurudas was also a photographer, kind of artistic personality. And he was there, and I never met him all these years somehow or other, but then I met him. It was very nice. And he was speaking. He's kind of a very spontaneous, artistic type of person, and he was kind of quite close with Prabhupada, quite bold in approaching Prabhupada in quite a personal way, and Prabhupada reciprocated with him in that way. So he had so much association with Prabhupada. And later another disciple of Prabhupada spoke, and he said, "I actually never really spoke with Srila Prabhupada. I was too afraid." And then you think, oh, anyway, still got the mystery, but, you know, be bold, right? Because these are golden opportunities. Remember that big sweet ball that was lying on the plate? And Brahmananda just grabbed it and popped it in his mouth and swallowed it. Yes. When there is the opportunity for the mercy, don't miss out. It's like the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, especially those very early ones who were so called for the Prabhupada. And now all getting quite old. So we should see them. Like there are devotees that never met the Lord Krishna Maharaj. Nice, kind of disciple of the Lord Krishna Maharaj. And I had so much to do with the Lord Krishna Maharaj. I used to fight with the Lord Krishna Maharaj. But there was a management. The management was sometimes of disappearance. That's the nature of management. But I must say, I got so much mercy from the Lord Krishna. Who was such a brilliant leader. One who took responsibility for Prabhupada's movement. Big time. So the more we can be blessed by all these great ideas, that is desire. One should always be eager to seek the blessings of great devotees. Giriraj Maharaj wrote that book, Many Moons. And that's a very good book because it's based on a saying, the title is based on a saying of Srila Prabhupada. Namely, Prabhupada said that if you see any good quality in me, I don't have. He said, just like the moon doesn't have any light of its own. He said, the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. And then it appears that the moon is also lit up. Therefore, he says, if you see any good qualities in me, then know them to be the good qualities of my spiritual master, just reflecting in me. And Prabhupada said that not in humility, because in a way, his whole mission of preaching in the West was the order of his spiritual master. And he was doing it on the order of his spiritual master very faithfully. So in that way, you can say it was actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's effulgence. Yeah. So that's how Prabhupada saw it. Yeah. It was just the order of my guru. Of course, we're seeing, no, he did it. You know what I mean? He did it in such a glorious way. So all glory comes to him. But Prabhupada himself saw, I'm just reflecting the light of the sun, which is my spiritual master, and I'm just like the moon. So in the song, Giriraj Maharaj wrote his book, called Many Moons, right? So based on that, that particular saying, that all these moons are reflecting the glories of God, just by taking his instructions, taking his life. And, you know, they were all so much on the cutting edge. That was a time when they were sent to Pakistan, to Africa, to China, to so many places. So much on the cutting edge. And that is most wonderful. Because Prabhupada just was demanding incredible things. Incredible surrender from these devotees. Okay. Something that we would never do. But they were doing it. That's like very clear. We would never do. I mean, we may wonder, why were we not there at this time? Because we didn't have that, you know, that dedication. We didn't have it. Now that everything is nicely arranged, you know, now I'll be a member of Hare Krishna. Now that there's temples all over the world, you know, and say, okay. It's like, because that's how it is now. Wherever you go in the world, all you have to do is like go to the temple. You know? Wherever you travel, just go to the temple. You know? And, you know, and then you say, is there some prasad? It's sort of like, it's not easy like that. Anywhere in the world. Bhadri Narayan, now Swami, and something else. And Bhadri Narayan Maharaj is a wonderful devotee. GBC. He said he wanted to do some preaching somewhere, some pioneering, and go to a place where you know nobody had been. So he looked on the map and he decided on New Guinea. Yeah. New Guinea. You have to be careful on New Guinea. You don't wind up in the cooking pot. But anyway, New Guinea, he went. He went to the safe part of New Guinea. But when he came there, in the hotel, the receptionist was reading one of Prabhupada's books. And then he realized, Prabhupada, you're already here. You were already here before I came. Yeah, that's how it is now. When we see that these devotees really are, they really pioneered. They pioneered. Even if now we go somewhere, you know, even if now we go somewhere where devotees have not been, you know, we can say, like, well, I'm from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So what's that? Oh, it's a very, you don't know.
That is a big international society, big institution. It has, you know, many establishments all over the world, more than 500 million books have been published and distributed worldwide. One of the big, it is the biggest publishing house. And we've got Fruit for Life, and we've got Fruit for Life. Now we have so much we can say, isn't it? So now it's easy, even if you go pioneering, there's so much behind us. So now we have the reputation, yes, of a serious movement. In 1966, Kirtananda was dressed like I'm dressed today, and they put him in a lunatic asylum. They locked him up. Just picked him up and locked him up. These guys said, come out. Different time. Very different. So we are greatly indebted to all these great personalities. And we pray to them for their mercy. And that we may. And of course here in South Africa we have Martha Sarathy Maharaj, we have Dr. Chaitanya Maharaj, we have Giriraj Maharaj, we have Bhagavan Ramdas Prabhu. We're indebted to Raj Ram, you know, who built that temple. And it's not an ordinary temple. I mean, even in India, even in India, the land of temples, they don't have a temple like that. So we are indebted to all these devotees for their service. And all the anonymous devotees for their service. Because that service sustains us. By the service of all these devotees, we are able to be in Krishna consciousness. And in the future, future generations will be Krishna conscious by our service. That's how it is. And in this way, we're always indebted to the Vaishnavas. Because by their service, we can do service. It's not a small thing, you know, they're pulling us out of the material world. Good thing to get on. And it comes in waves. Ramananda, the first big wave. Bhakti Tirthananda, second big wave, right, in Africa. And that comes in waves. And we do South Australia, Bangalore, Western Europe. Arikesh, Eastern Europe. Arikesh was very smart, very intelligent. So they were smuggling books behind the Iron Curtain. And they had two vans that were exactly the same. And they would, one would drive over the border empty. Yeah. And then, they would change the number plates, and then the other one, exactly the same, would go back and tell the driver and say, oh, you're back, yeah, I forgot. You know, I forgot something. I forgot, like, you know, went back with a full van, hidden in a different pallet, but filled with books. And this way, they smuggled so many books into the East Bay. We saw that BBT conference. I mean, I don't know who was there, but maybe Shamsun was there. But there was, when Rama Mahurta, he made a presentation of what happened with Russia, that Reuters, the press bureau, sent some message that in Russia, now, you know, there was a possibility there was a lift for certain restrictions, and books could be imported. And as soon as they heard it, Arikes immediately sent like a huge number of books, I think 100,000 or more. And these books, they were sitting in Russia. Nobody in Russia knew about law. But anyway, they fought and they fought, and eventually they got these books out. And those books were later distributed and turned into so much money and turned into more books. And that's the beginning of the whole Russian Yatra. So it's like, that's how Arikesh did that. How can we ever forget? Arikesh had a PBT, and he had like, they had little officers in with two people in the room. One a translator, another an editor, and then computers connected to a central computer. And they were translating and editing, and then at night, the central computer would slurp everything out of their, whatever they found for the book. And then like this, they managed to publish like 30 languages all together, all at once. And he brought Prabhupada these books in 30 languages. And then he smuggled them into these countries. Anybody, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went there to preach at the library of Bhakti, together with Krishna Kshetra Maharaj. And they were like, yeah, they're selling these books. Sri Bhuvanath, the original. Not the copy. The original. I gave him that name so he would get the blessings from the original, but he has to come a long way to come up to the standard that the original showed. Because the original was such a dedicated servant of God, he went fearlessly into the Middle East to distribute books. And Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj also went with him. And then Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj was telling the story the other day. He said, I was in this building in Beirut. Beirut is always in the news, you know, like Beirut. I've often seen Beirut in the news over the years, especially in those days. And they were distributing books in Beirut. He said he went into the building and he had just done this whole building. And he came out, and then behind him the whole building exploded. The whole building blew up, just as he had sort of, what it looks like. So those devotees, if you please think of them. Such dedication to Srila Prabhupada. Such dedication. He did such amazing things. Such amazing things. And here we are. Because of that. Spiritual.